So if you haven't figured this out yet, I really love our liturgical tradition and heritage. I love geeking out about all the minutiae of our Anglican way of life, and even get excited when I see clergy types debating back and forth. Like right now, huge debates on the clergy social media, purple or blue for Advent. Big, and like people get real touchy about that too. But I love watching all that stuff. And so it makes for me choosing favorites of things very difficult. Because like, and when everything is awesome, how can you choose one favorite? It's like ordering at the Cheesecake Factory. Like, that menu is just so massive, it's hard to actually pick something. That's how I feel about choosing favorites in our liturgical life. Now, if I had to pick just one liturgical season as my favorite, like if someone, you know, was saying, you have to choose just one, for me, that one favorite liturgical season would be Advent. I love the rich and powerful scriptural lessons we have in this season. I cherish the way that what we do here in these weeks stands opposed to the superficial, sentimental, way too much consumerism stuff in the world around us. And I just adore the beautiful poetic hymnody of this season. I mean, I love Advent hymns so much that for one of the travel football teams I'm on, I actually chose my number based off of the opening hymn for the first Sunday of Advent, which probably tells you everything you need to know about my level of church geekiness. I know maybe all of you don't feel the same way about hymnody. I'm aware you choose to come to the service without music, but trust me, hymn 57, beautiful. I love Advent. So I've been thinking a lot about Advent last week, as getting ready and doing all the things to prepare so we can keep this holy season here at St. Thomas. And I realized for me there's something a little different this year. This year I found myself getting excited for Advent, not out of a desire for the season, for the joy and love which I have for this time, but as of a need for it. Because I found that this year I really need Advent, and I wonder if maybe some of you do as well, but maybe you just don't know it yet. Here's one of the reasons why I think that I really need Advent this year is, and I'll confess, I've been a lot more rattled by the shootings at Club Q than I thought I would be. Far more rattled than I was after Pulse a few years ago. And it probably doesn't help that just a couple days later there was another shooting at a Walmart in Virginia. Or then reading the headlines and the stories that there were 7 mass shootings in 7 days in our country. I don't think that really sets anybody up well to be in a cheery spirit. So I've had this growing anxiety. I mean, I've been reticent to accept invitations from friends to go out dancing. And when I actually did last night after my high school reunion, like, I was more anxious than I've ever been in these spaces. And then, like, on Friday, my mom and I went to the mall, like something I haven't done in a very long time. Malls are real weird these days. If you haven't been in one, they're kind of empty and a little creepy, and which probably also didn't help that sense of anxiety I had as we were walking around the Emerald Square Mall wondering, was our shopping trip to, like, so I can get some sweaters and a new coat going to be on the news story later that night? So I've had this anxiety and this worry in this last week. And what's different this time than others is that it's been met with a significant amount of anger. I've lost track of the times I've yelled at my screen or my tablet or my phone as I've watched the news or read the paper or seen social media tweets about politicians saying we've got to do something about gun violence when then they're in our legislatures preventing sensible gun laws. Or politicians are saying, man, this hate against the LGBT community, it's wrong, when out the other side of their mouth, they're the ones spewing hate and vitriol. And I got to tell you, anxiety and anger, it's not a good combination. But I think when we're in that place, when we've got that anxiety, that fear, when we've got pain or grief, when we find ourselves being angry at injustices around us, Advent's exactly what we need. Because Advent stands as a beacon in the midst of the darkness all around us. Now, if you ask like 100 people, so what's Advent? I mean, assuming you can find 100 people who know what Advent is, they're probably going to tell you it's a season of preparation. When you ask what they're preparing for, they're going to say, well, it's preparing for Christmas. And while there's some truth to that, this is a time when we get ready for Christmas, the vast majority of the season has actually nothing to do with the miraculous birth 2,000 plus years ago. Advent is not just a 4-week lead up into Christmas. Advent is a season of preparation, but it's preparing us for something that is to come. It's preparing us for the second coming of God in glorious majesty. I mean, that's why on Advent 1, we sing hymn 57, "Lo, he comes with clouds descending." So God coming in majesty to judge the quick and the dead. To not judge with a sense of punishment, but to judge us in love, to purify us, to transform us the way precious metals are purified, so that we can be the fullness of who God intended us to be from the very beginning of creation. This season is preparing us for when God comes and casts aside the darkness of the world, when God eradicates pain and grief and hatred and fear and anxiety, when God comes again to make this world into God's kingdom, into the new Jerusalem, that which in this moment is already, but not yet. Advent foretells us when it will be done in fullness. And that's why our readings for today, kind of, they're all pointing us to what is to come. We hear from the prophet Isaiah from early on in the book of Isaiah. It's before they've been in exile, before their return, and the prophet is saying, something better is coming. We might be in slavery now, things will be hard now, but look, the day is coming when they're going to turn their weapons of war into forming tools. The day is coming when we will walk in light. And then we hear in our epistle reading, actually language that we pick up in our call to the day, right? Language of casting off darkness and putting upon us the armor of light. That sense of there's darkness around there. Things are hard, things are difficult, things are scary, but we've got to cast that off and put on the light of God as our armor, as that which is going to protect us from what is around us. And then we have that gospel passage from Matthew. It's from a section of Matthew's gospel known as the Little Apocalypse. You know, and so as I was reading that, I wonder if any of you got the sense of like, what is this, like some like Left Behind series movie or something going on? But apocalypse really just means revelation. It's revealing that which is below the surface. And what Jesus is talking about is the revelation of the world, what's going to come and what's going to happen. And Jesus is clear that it's not going to be the easiest transition. Elsewhere in Scripture talks about, you know, these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Because instituting a new world order is not easy. It will be painful and it will be hard. It will be difficult, it will be challenging, and cause anxiety and fear. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. But at the end, something new emerges. Jesus tells his disciples at the end of that line, he says, you know, if the owner of the house knew what time the thief was coming, the owner wouldn't have gone to bed, but would have stayed up to take care of things. Jesus is saying, we don't know when any of these things will take place. Only God knows that. So our job is to be prepared, to be ready. I love the season of Advent because there is nothing sentimental. There's nothing that you're going to find on Advent cards. I don't even think they make Advent cards. You're not going to find, you know, our scripture readings in the season of Advent like on the greeting card aisle at Target or the Hallmark store. But I think one of the things that means is that there is truth in this space. There is truth in these weeks. Because I don't know about you, but when I look at the world around us, I mean, I was thinking about this when I was at the mall, right? They've got all the massive ornaments and the lovely music and all the holly jollies and like, it's this like, hey, let's pretend everything is great and rosy and everything's wonderful. But we know that's not true. I know there's members of our community who are grieving now. And when you look at the world outside, it tells you there's no place for grief in this time of year. But we know that's not how it works. We know we still grieve. We know we can't just switch that flip that switch off, that's how you say that, and just say, well, in these weeks we're not going to grieve. We'll pick that back up after the first of the year. We know that members of our community in the wider world, I mean, we just gave away a whole lot of Thanksgiving baskets. We're adopting families for our giving tree. We know this isn't the easiest time for them. And we see about wars around the world, wars in our backyards, and the violence in this country. That doesn't go away just because we put Jingle Bell Rock on the radio or put some trees up on the house. Wow, I'm really not doing well with words this morning. Yeah, put trees up on the house. And by trees, I mean put lights up on the house. Y'all, it's hard right now. Advent makes space for the real things we feel. Advent doesn't ask us to pretend, to put on a face, and say we're going to force ourselves into the Spirit. Advent says, come in the fullness of where you are in this moment, in the full complexity of all the emotions you have, your joy, your triumphs, and your pain, and your grief, and bring them here. Because we are awaiting God to come again, when God will take all those things and bring them to God's self, when God will wipe away the tears from our eyes, when God will heal us of all that pain, of that hatred, that anger, that anxiety we have. I love Advent because it allows us to be real and honest in a world that wants none of that outside, in a world that just wants to say, yeah, we're fine and great, and go skipping on down the way. Fleming Rutledge, a priest and theologian, in a book she wrote on Advent reflections, she says repeatedly through that Advent begins in the dark. Advent begins in the dark. And then we light a single candle, and each week, over the next 4 weeks, that light will grow. It's a way of a visual representation of what we pray in our collective, casting off the works of darkness and putting upon us the armor of light. Today we light one candle to cast off that darkness. And over these weeks we'll continue to light candle after candle as the darkness is banished and the light of God shines through. We do not know the day nor the hour when God will come again. But let us be ready, because we know that the day of God is drawing nigh. Amen.